We're on the top of Daf Nun Ches Amid Beis, and we're continuing with our study about brachos, special brachos on Re'iyah, Tana Rabbanan. We learned in a brisa, Haroa Bote Yisrael, if a person sees Manhige Vashire Yisrael, he sees leaders and perhaps the contributors that keep the community going, and he sees them be shuvan when they're sitting with tokef and gvura in all their might and glory and power, like it did at the time of Baisheni. That's how Rashi adds here. Omer, he should recite the bracha, Baruch Matziv Gvul Almona. Blessed are you who establishes the boundary of the widow. And in the second temple, for example, the Gemara could not actually be referring to the first temple period, because the description of Klal Yisrael as a widow is only appropriate after the loss of the first temple. And Rashi mentions the period of Bais Sheni because he implies that this blessing is recited only in Eretz Yisrael and only when the Beis HaMikdash is standing. And according to the Rif, one should recite this bracha upon seeing a synagogue in its glory. And he holds that there's no distinction between Eretz Yisrael and Golus. The Mishnah Berurah, on the other hand, says that the view of the Rif is generally accepted, that we would make this bracha even in Chutz Laretz. However, the Prima Gadim is worried about Rashi Shita, that you don't make this bracha outside the land of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore he thinks we should leave out Shem Umalchus if we are blessing this bracha Baruch Matziv Gvul Almona in Chutz Laretz. So we're talking about seeing beautiful houses, the wealthy philanthropists, those who are communal leaders, keep up the community, and their houses and so forth are standing in glory, grandeur, and the local community is secure. And therefore we make this bracha, Baruch Matziv, who establishes the boundary of the widow. And this is all based on a pasuk in Eicha at the beginning, Hoysok Almanah, and the Gulas Yisrael during the period of Bais Sheni is like a Hatzavas Gvul Almana. And therefore, Rashi indicates we're talking about the period of the Second Temple. Bichurbanam, if on the other hand he sees the communities of Israel in desolation, in their ruins, then he should recite Baruch Dayan HaEmes, and blessed are you who are the true judge. And this is generally speaking the bracha that we saw back on Nun Dalet, the bracha for bad news, when we hear bad news. Bate Ovde Kochavim, if he sees the houses of the idol worshippers, then if he sees them be Shuvan, they're inhabited, he recites the bracha, Beis Geim Yisach Hashem. Well, maybe not the bracha, maybe he should just recite this pasuk, which is a pasuk in Mishle, Hashem will uproot the houses of the arrogant. And the arrogant here is an allusion, a reference to the idol worshippers, because them is goyim, they build themselves up and they want to be Oker Hashem, they want to undermine God. If on the other hand he sees that these idolatrous cities of the goyim are bechurbanam, they are desolate, they are ruined, Omer, then he should quote a different pasuk from Tehillim, Kel Nekamos Hashem, Kel Nekamos Ophia, that God shows his Nekama, his vengeance against the idol worshippers. And that's the way Rashi interprets it. Now, once he mentions this din of a person who sees Bati Yisrael v'churbanam, and he recites Baruch Dayana Emes, the Gemara brings a story about Ulan Rav Chizda that saw the house of Rav Chana bar Chaniloi Chare, Fa'ula of Rav Chizda Havi Ka'ozli Biurche, they were going in the way, Kimatu Apischa Debei Rav China bar Chaniloi, they got to the home of the dilapidated house of Rav China, Negad Rav Chizda V'Atnach. Negad means nechlash. Rav Chizda felt weak. Just the sight of this house that lay in ruins of such a great tzaddik. Etnach, he gave out a krechts. Nenach. Amalei Ula. Ula asks Rav Chizda, Maiko misnachas, why are you krechtsing? Why are you giving out such a sigh, a depressing sigh? For Amar Rav, don't we have a statement of Rav? Anocha mazika shoveres chatzi gufo shel adam. When a person gives such a krechts, it breaks half of his body. Shenemar, based on Pasuk Yechezkel, v'ata ben adam he'anach b'shivron masayim u'bimrirus te'anach le'enehem. Which literally translates as, you, the son of man, sigh with the shattering of the loins and with the bitterness of such a sigh in their presence. But hamasnim heim b'emtza guf, masnai means the thighs or perhaps you could call it the loins, which is in the middle of the guf. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Anocha shoveres af kol gufo shel adam. A sigh breaks even a person's entire body. Shenemar v'hoya ki yomru elecha alma aton nenach v'yamarta el hashmua ki ba'a v'nomeis kol lev v'yirofu kol yadayim v'chiasa kol ruach v'chol berkayim teilechna mayim. And you shall say, because of the report that is coming, when every heart will melt. Omer Leis, Rav Chizda responds to Ula, Hechi lo as atnach. How can you not give a sigh? How can you expect me not to sigh when I see Besa, the house of Rav China, da havi bashisin of Yosa b'yamama, that back in the heyday they had 60 cooks on a daily basis, or bakers. Vishitin afyosa b'leilos, and another 60 would come in to take the night shift to bake bread, whoever needed bread. V'afyan l'chomay detzorech v'lo shokal yodam in kisa. And Rav Chana bar Chaniloi, the master of the house, did not remove his hand from his purse. And why not? Because the Savar Dilma Osi, he thought that maybe somebody would come who needed Stucker, who needed a little bit of help financially. So he always had his hand in his pocket, on his pocketbook, ready to help anyone. He came from a very wealthy family, but unfortunately he lost all his financial possessions. And now he himself is too embarrassed to take Stucker. The Amtule Lekisa Komichsev. And Adshiavo Sakismo Sispai Sha'oni. And now, as a result, what's going to happen is that a poor man might be embarrassed and go away. And this is a very sad situation that's changed over here. Here was Rav China that was always ready to help anyone. And he organized it, Rav Chana, that in such a way that he would guarantee it was very comfortable for the aniyim to get help, to ask for financial help. And now, Rav China is in such a situation, and a poor man would be embarrassed when he would see this dilapidated house in ruins. He would go away. Vesuavi psichin le arba bove li arba rucha di alma. Furthermore, he says, the house had four gates that opened to the four directions of the compass. so that no matter where you came from, the poor would not have to bother walking around the house in order to gain entrance. This is like the oil of Sarah, you mean, that was open on all four sides. V'chol davi ayel kofid. Anyone who entered hungry is, like kol dichvin, is nafik beis kisova. He would walk out when he was satiated. V'havu shodu lechiti usiori. And he would throw wheat and barley outside of his house during the years of Shnei Batzoros, of famine, and the people would come, even those who weren't so poor would come. Af b'nei Adam she'enom aniyim, during the famine, ein lehem lechol, people who are wealthy but they didn't have food because there was no food to be had. Ach boshim litol tztaka, since they would be embarrassed to come around for tztaka, therefore Rav Chino would see to it that the food would be sort of come to them. It would be chutz labayis. The choman the ksifa milsa lemishkal biyamama, anyone who's too embarrassed to come by and take during the day of the shakiba lila, he could come at night. And hashta, now look what's happening. Nafal betila. The house basically fell and it became just a heap, a mound. For lo esnach, and you don't expect me to sigh when I think of what it was in the past. And this is what it means to feel a sense of churban when you remember what it was in its glory. Now Ula is going to try to console Rav Chisda. But before that, let's just mention the Ben Yehoyada here. He says, why did Rav Chisda say Hashta? Now, he wanted to emphasize to him that this is not a churban that's far away like the Churban Beis HaMikdash. This is something that's right in front of our eyes. It's now. And mitzad ha-tev on them nemrech al churban korov lo churban rochok. Right, you have Avelus Yeshana, as opposed to Avelus Kadosh, it usually doesn't evoke a sigh. But here, says Rav Chisda, this is a very, very sad situation. I'm reminded of the story that Rav Soloveitchik used to tell us on Tisha B'Av about a person who came back to his town after the Holocaust, and he went back to the town where Vilna, where he used to remember so many shuls, and now there was nothing left. All the Jews were shipped out to the camps or were just murdered by the Ans. They were just murdered, and he remembered until a cat came knocking on the door, because it was that time of the day. I think it was Yom Kippur when the cat would come. Anyway, just remembering Yerushalayim b'binyona in its glory. So now, after Rav Chisda explained to Ula why he sighed, Ula tries to console Rav Chisda, and he says to him, "Hachi Amar Rav Yochanan, miyom shecharev beis hamigdash, from the day that the mikdash was destroyed, nigzar gzeir al batim shel tzadikim sheicharvu, there was a divine decree that the homes of the tzaddikim would also be destroyed, just like the Beis HaMikdash. Hashem would treat His servants in the same way that He treated him, His own home, His own mastery. And no one would be spared. The tzaddikim would not be spared. So what you're looking at here is really churban. And just one second. And he says to him, Shenemar, the Pasuk says in the Nevuah of Yeshaya on the terrible destruction that in the future will take place, Bi'oznoi shamati shegozer Hashem tzvokos im lo botim ravim l'shamayu botim gedolim v'tovim yumei ein yoshev. And when it says here, Batim, Gidolim, Vitovim. It's a reference to the Batim of Gidolim Vitovim. In other words, Tzadikim. Yecharvu, Mein Yoshev. They'll be in ruins. V'yom Rabbi Yochanan said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'achzira li'shuvan. But let's think about the future. Let's have an optimistic, hopeful view of what's going to happen at the end of days. Shenemar, it says, until him shira malos l'david abotchim v'ashem v'artzion lo yimot li'olam yeshev. And there is a kind of an analogy here, a dimyon in the pasuk between batei tzadikim habotchim v'ashem and hartzion. Because it says, shira malos l'david abotchim v'ashem v'artzion ke hartzion. Is ma hartzion oser hakodesh baruch hu l'achziro liyishuvo, that hartzion will be again settled like it once was settled. It'll be prosperous, it'll be exciting. Is af batem shel tzadikim oser hakodesh baruch hu l'achziro liyishuvon, the tzadikim will return in the osid, so there's no need to give a sigh over the churban. And this is very reminiscent of the Gemara at the end of Makkos. And Rabbi Akiva said, the fact that I see the shul going in and out of the Kodshi Kodshim, that means that the ultimate, we're seeing the destruction, and that itself clinches the fact that ultimately there will be a great redemption. Od Yeshvun Tzkenim Tzkenis Perchov Yisraelim. Chazya, so Ula saw in Rav Chizda lo miyashev daita. He was still not happy about it. He was still in a state of anger or depression, I should say, maybe not anger. And once again, Omar le, Rav Chizda says, Dayo le evit shiei karabo, which means the following, that with all your words of consolation, and again, Rav Chizda appreciated those words, he was still not at ease. So he said, it is enough for a servant to be like his master. In other words, the homes, the batim of God's servants, of the Ovdei Hashem, cannot be expected to remain standing while Hashem's own house, his temple, is in ruins. Therefore, what Ula says to Rav Chizda is that you should not grieve over the ruined house any more than you grieve over the destruction of the temple. It's all one churban. The af beis hamikdash hu beiso shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu charev ein lecha litztar al churban beiso shel Rav Chizda more yosem mima she'ata mitztar al churban beis hamikdash. You know, even though on an emotional, psychological level, he's seeing in front of him, you know, the suffering of a great rabbi and the ruins of a great open house which had so much hachnasas orchim. I mean, that naturally, or psychologically, would bring about a greater sense, an immediate sense of depression, of grief and mourning, and it really is. It's natural, almost anticipated that you would feel, you know, you would see in front of your eyes the suffering and the destruction. You know, sometimes you feel more grief over the destruction of one person, of one single person, than the destruction of millions of people. Chas v'shalom. And that's why Rav Chizda gave this sigh when he saw Rav China's house in ruins. But on the other hand, Ula says to him, you know, are you equating two things here? Do you have the same sense of grief for the loss of the Migdash as you have for the loss of Rav China's house? It's all one churban. Torah Rabbanu, we learned in the Brice, Haroe Kivre Yisrael, if he sees a Jewish cemetery, Omer, Baruch Asher, Yatzar Eschem B'din, Zon Eschem B'din, Kilkel Eschem B'din, V'asaf Eschem B'din, V'asid Lakimcham B'din. And this is a bracha that you recite when you visit the cemetery. The poskim say, if you visit a cemetery within the last 30 days and you made this bracha, you don't recite it again. And then there are certain days which are more happy days. We don't say Tachnun, and we don't necessarily recite this bracha. All this has to be studied. But if he sees one kever, you don't make the bracha, because this bracha was in Lashon Rabim, meaning Kivrei Yisrael, Eschem, and the word Eschem appears over and over again. And we're saying that God judged our fathers, and part of the decree was there would be children that would be born. You were born because of this, and the din was on the parents, and now there's a vlad, and the vlad comes. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Zanu Mechalkel Es HaOlam B'Chesed. It's not B'din. So when it says here, Yotzer Eschem B'din, V'Zon Eschem B'din, V'Kilkel Eschem B'din, what does it mean? The Pasuk says, Nosein Lechem L'Chol Baso Kilom Chazdo. We always see that there's plenty of Mizonos, but is it B'din? Rosh Hashanah is the day of Din. And the reason why we say that all of this, Yatzar Eschem, Kilkel Eschem, Asav Eschem, it's all B'din, is because even though there's certainly Rachamim, the very creation of the world is a Shituf of Midas HaDin and Midas HaRachamim, but it says V'yosaf Eschem B'din, because when we talk about a situation of Misa, it's all Kula Din. There's no element of Chesed here. So the entire bracha revolves around Din, because the Mechayev, so to speak, Kivrei Yisrael, is death, and death is a result of Din. However, there's a more happy part to this bracha, the ending, V'asid Lakimchem B'din, will be Tchias HaMesim, and that's what we're hoping for. We're praying for Mar B'rei D'Ravida M'sayim L'Mishmei D'Rav Nachmani at the ending of the bracha, V'yodea Mispar Kulchem, God knows the number of each of and every one of you, V'asid Lachyosam U'Lakayim Eschem, Baruch M'chai HaMesim. Now this idea that God knows the mispar of kulchem means that each individual is infinitely significant. He's a star in heaven, so to speak. And we are not capable of knowing the mispar amesim. And there really is something called Gilgul neshama. You could have one neshama that goes into different gufim. But this bracha, L'Kayim Eschem, means that God, after the time of Tchias HaMesim, Shuv Lo Yomusu, they will live to all eternity. That's the Tzlach over here. And this brisa that we're learning, that says, Asid L'Hakimchem B'din, you can ask the question as to why Rav Nachman said Asid L'Kayim Eschem. The Rif says that Vu Asid Lach Yoschem, and that's the lashon in this bracha. But really, we say twice Vu Asid Lakimchem, not just Asid Lach Yoschem, but also Lakimchem. And one perhaps is referring to Tchias HaMesim, the other perhaps to Olam Abba, and then we end with Baruch Mechaye HaMesim. Kivrei Ovdei Kochavim, Omer, he recites the Pasuk in Yirmiyah, Busha Imchem, Miod chofra yoladetchem, hine achris goyim midbar tziyo varova. Om Rabbi Yishuv Melevi haroes chavero, a beloved friend, liachar shloshim yom, he hasn't seen him in 30 days. Omer baruch shechiyonu mikimon v'yon lezman hazeh. And liachar shneim asar chodesh, he hasn't seen him in a year. Omer, he should say, baruch mechaye meisim. And the Bach points out that it seems that when he makes the bracha Baruch Mechayim Meisim, he doesn't recite Shechiyonu. This one replaces the first one. Amar Rav. Now we have to keep in mind that this bracha of Haroes Chavero applies specifically to a friend that he loves dearly, and his appearance brings joy. The Gemara speaks of a case in which one was accustomed to seeing the friend frequently, but then the friend dropped out of sight for a period of 30 days or 12 months. And once a friend has been gone for 12 months, you tend to forget about him. When the friend reappears, it's though he's returned from the dead, and therefore it's like Baruch Mechayim Meisim. And on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, each person is judged as to whether he deserves to die or to live out the year. Therefore, if one sees his friend after Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur of 1 year, does not see him again till after the next Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, he should give thanks that his friends were spared from a sentence of death. Amar Rav, Ein ames mishtakeach min halev el yachar shnei masar chodesh. When someone dies, you will remember him in a very clear and acute awareness of his death for a full year. Only after a year, it becomes less acute. It becomes more of a latent memory of the dead. Shenemar, Pasuk says, until nishkachti kemeis milev ha'isi kekli oved. So the mess is like an aved, is something that's lost, kli oved in this pasuk. And the law of Yeush, a person gives up on an aveda after 12 months. 12 months goes by, he doesn't know where it is, he gives up hope, and he says, Vayli l'chisaron kis. So too a mess is forgotten after 12 months. Rav Papa Rav Huna Breder of Yeshua Vika Azli Be'orcha. So Rav Papa and Rav Huna were on the road. Pagubei b'Rab Chanina b'Reid Rav Ika, they met Rav Chanina. Omrule, they said to him, Bahade de Chazinach, as soon as we saw you, Barichnen Anon Tarte. We recited two brachas. Baruch Asher Cholak mi Chachmas Ol Yireyav. When you see a Chacham, that's the bracha as we discussed earlier. And Birchas Shechiyonu, because we haven't seen you in 30 days. Omrule, who? So Rav Chanina responds, and he says to them, Anon Nami, I too came into Chaziz Sinchus. Once I saw you, is Chashav Tinchu Eloi Keshitin Rivron Beis Yisrael. I considered you as if you were 60 Ribui, which means 600,000 of Bnei Yisrael. Berichna Aleichu Tlos, and I made three brachas. Hanach Tarti, the same two brachas that you made, and also Baruch Chacham Harozin, which you made a bracha that we learned earlier. You recite when you see Shishim Ribu Mi Yisrael. So the Ramban explains that just like when you make the bracha on Shishim Ribu Yisrael, because Shishim Ribu includes all different deos, all different individuals' perspectives on everything, so too when you see a Chacham Gadol who has all the chachmas and all the perspectives and all the deos, he also should be mevarech the same bracha. Again, we're talking about a special kind of a chachma, of a chacham. Okay, let's turn the page here. Amrule, Rav Papa and Rav Huna responded to Rav Chanina, Chachimas Kulihai. You're very, very smart that you can recognize our chachma, Yahivnibe Naihu Ushachiv. there are many different ways that you can understand Yavi Bei Nayu. Why did Rav Papa Rav Huna give him an ayin hara to Rav Chanina? Some say they had Chalishas Hadas, that he was such a baki b'chachma, he could look at their faces and know that each, you know, that they had the all the shishim ribui. Others say that they were punished because if this halacha wasn't known, and then Rav Chanina was mechadish this halacha, then it's kind of like a mora horab if they rabo. You're not supposed to paskin halacha in front of the Gadol Hador. Now others say that the fact that he made this bracha with Shemu Malchus perhaps would have been a bracha of Atola, and they were caught aback, they were put aback by that. And in order to make this bracha of on Shishim Ribui, the bracha that's dedicated for Shishim Ribui, you'd have to be able to see the genius of someone else, which means that, are you such a genius that you could master the art of discerning a person's character by looking at his face and lay claim to that ability? And although Rav Huna and Rav Papa certainly agreed that Rav Chanina was a great sage, but they doubted if he's possessed this fantastic talent. Or perhaps, as we said before, they were put aback by the fact that without any source, without any Braisa or Mishnah, Tana, that he would follow this law that he paskined la'alocha when it might be a serious offense of a brachal v'atola. And maybe they saw in the way his attitude towards the law was a little bit laid back. So that the poskim will probably all agree that the bracha of Chacham HaRozim would not be blessed recited in the presence of a giant, of a Torah giant. Om Rav Yishuv Melev HaRoa Es HaBahakonim. Bahakonim are people who have spots, they're spotted people. And Ora Moli Nekudos HaNiros KeAdashim. Omer, you should be Mavarech Baruch Mishana Brios, that God has changed this creature and he's different than all the other creatures. Mesve, the Gemara asks a kasha on Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. We have a brice that says, Ras Hakushi, if a person sees someone who's black, maybe he's dark black, Vesagichar, someone who's very red, Vesalavkon, someone who's very white, Vesakipeach, someone whose stomach is very, very large, and he looks like he's deformed, sort of his stature is missing something. Vesananos, or he sees a midget, Vesadarnikos, which is a person whose hair is full of all sorts of boils and things like that. He translates it as a person with warts. Let's see if we have a translation here. Rashi says it's varuash, verus, having warts. Or it might have a cleft lip. Some read it as a person who's unusually tall. I mean, there's many different interpretations of what this Dar Nikos is. But in all these cases, Omer recites the Bracha Baruch Mashana Es HaBrios. Es HaKitea, if he sees never someone who has no arms, Es HaSuma, blind person, Es Psuye HaRosh, someone whose hair clings together. He has a definition here of a people whose hair is matted. His hair is densely packed. or esachiger, someone whose leg is amputated, or maybe both legs have been amputated, ve'es ha-mukashchin, a person smitten with boils, ve'es ha-bakonim, a person who is spotted. I'm not sure exactly why he repeats, because this is a Bryson before we saw it in Rav Shimon Levi. And then it says, Omer Baruch Dayan HaEmes, meaning that in all these last cases of Kiteya, Suma, and Petuye Rosh, Chiger, Mukashkin, Ba'akonim, all this is an onesh, it's a punishment. And therefore, he should recite the bracha Baruch Dayan HaEmes, not Mishana HaBrios. So this is against Rabbi Yishuv Ben Korach, who has Ba'akonim as Baruch Mishana HaBrios. Here Ba'akonim is listed as the bracha Baruch Dayan HaEmes, Lo Kasha. Ha, the case of Rabbi Yishuv Ben Levin, when he saw Ba'akonim and he recites Mishana HaBrios, that's if he saw someone who was born that way, Mimea Imo. From birth, he had these spots. So it wasn't a punishment. But ha, the Braisa who says Baruch Dayan HaEmes, that's only if he saw someone debossed the sialid, he was born normal, and later he became one of these Ba'akonim. And that means it was certainly a punishment. The Gemara proves this distinction, Deka Nami, because the Braisa says the Ketani Dumya Dekitea, Ba'akonim is brought together with someone whose legs were cut off. And that's not someone who was born that way. Nasiboshinu liachar shenolad shma mino, and that's the proof. Tana rabbanu ro appeal kof kipots omer baruch mishana es habrios. If he sees any of the above, he sees an elephant, he sees a monkey, he sees an owl, he makes the bracha Baruch Mishana Es HaBrios. I'm not exactly sure why these three, again, you know, maybe Peel is a very unusual animal. It's a gigantic elephant. I'm not sure about monkeys and owls. Not sure exactly why they're so rare. Just see here, the Meiri says that Heim domim la'odam b'ktsas dvarim, that these are similar a little bit to human features. They have certain parts of their what we call the above the chin, the jaws, and this is certainly true for a peel and a kof. They have certain human features. I'm not exactly sure why that's so relevant here to Baruch Mishanes HaBrios. And then the Gemara says, Ra Brios Tovos, if he sees healthy, good-looking people, handsome people, vilonos tovos, or beautiful trees, and it's a pleasure to look at them, Omer, you should recite, Baruch shekocha lo ba'olamo, that he has this in his world, that God created a world. Now, we said before, back on Mem Gimel, that if a person goes out, b'mei Nisan, and he sees ilonos melavlevin that's starting to bloom, that's a case of ilonos that aren't necessarily so beautiful. So he only makes the bracha on them in Yemei Nisan when they're blooming. Here he's talking about ilonos that he gets pleasure by seeing them. And therefore he makes the bracha on seeing these trees, or an Adam Noah. Al Azikim, the Mishnah had said that on Zikim he makes the bracha Baruch Shekocho Ugvas Ugvuraso Meli Olam. So now we're talking about Zikim, but what exactly is Zikim? My Zikim Amar Shmuel Kochva Deshavit. Okay, whatever that is. Kochva Deshavit. So we have here a note, and he says that, just one second, where is it? It's a star that descends like an arrow in the sky. It has a long shape like that of a rod. Hence the name Kuchva Deshavit. The word Shavit means a rod. And the Rambam writes that it looks like a star with a tail. Rashi seems to be referring to a meteor, whereas the Rambam's description matches that of a comet. Now, getting back to the previous brach that we spoke about, thanking God for the pleasure of seeing such beauty, or perhaps this is called sensory pleasure, it also affirms the beauty of a reflection of God's glory. Some Rishonim hold that this bracha, which we spoke about before, that when you see beautiful, you recite the bracha, Baruch Shekacha, Shekacha lo ba'olamo, is only upon seeing a beautiful creature for the first time in his life. He doesn't repeat this blessing every time he sees that same creature or something similar at a later date, unless it's more beautiful than the first one that he saw. That's according to one school of Rishonim. Other Rishonim hold that you don't make the bracha a second time, even if you see such a creature, unless 30 days have passed by since the last time he saw it. The Rambam writes that this bracha of kacha, shekacha, lo ba'olamo is recited only upon seeing a creature that is exceptionally beautiful. Now, this is very hard to define, and therefore the general practice is not to recite this blessing. That's what the Mishnah Berurah writes. Again, in all cases, you can recite the bracha without shame u'malchus. That's not an issue. V'yomer Shmuel, nehirin li shvilei d'shmaya kishvilei d'narda. He was great at astronomy, and he declared that the paths of the heavens are clear to me as the paths of Narda, the city in which he lived. So basically, he was an astronomist. He knew the courses of stars in the sky, and it was like he knew it like a palm of his hand, we would say. Lebar, but there's one exception. Mikochva deshavit. This kochva deshavit, which is a meteor or a comet, that lo yadanu maininu, I'm totally ignorant about it. Gmiri de lo avar kisla. It's known through the oral tradition that a kochava deshavit does not pass through the constellation of Kisla. V'yim arvar kisla, and if it would pass through Kisla, charav olma, the entire world will be destroyed. Now, what is this all about? What is this, the constellation of Kessel? And what would it mean if it would pass through Kessel, but it doesn't pass through Kessel? Very, very difficult, just on a simple level. Now, perhaps what's happening is that two stars are colliding, and that's going to have an impact on the world. So the fusion of a kochava deshavit with Kessel would have consequences so severe that the world would be annihilated. So Kisla is one of the mazolos, and the possibility of a collision between two mazolos would have an impact on the world. So the kochava deshavit, if it had a collision with Kessel, would have very severe consequences. So the Gemara asks for Hakol Chazinin Di Ovar. We saw that the mazel called Kossil actually passed through, or shall we say the other way around, the mazel of the Star of Shavit actually passed this kesil. So the Gemara answers, Zivehu di Ovar. Its glow is that which passes, but Mischazi kida Ovar iu, it looks as if it passes itself, passing through kesil. Rav Huna Bereid, Rav Yeshua Amar, Vilon hu de Mikra, is a firmament of Vilon, which is torn, Umechse Nahora de Rakia, and the light of Rakia is seen through that tear. So this is all based on the Gemara in Chagiga, that there are seven firmaments. The innermost one is Vilon, literally a veil or a curtain which darkens the sky at night. The one above is called the Rakia, in which the sun, the moon, and the stars are located. When Vilon tears, Rakia can be seen through the tear, appearing like a spear of light in the night sky. And this is a phenomenon which is referred to as Zikin. Tosfos says, Rav Huna, the son of Rabbi Yeshua, is not giving a description of Zikin. Rather, he's resolving the Gemara's problem of how a Kochav Shavit could pass through Kesel. And his solution is that the light, the line of the light, which is seen to pass through Kesel, is in fact not a Kochav de Shavit, but rather a tear in Vilon. Ravashi Omar, Kochavahu di Okar mehai Gisa. Again, another explanation of how Kochavah the Shavit appears to pass through Kesel. It's when a star is removed from one side of Kesel. Bechazile Chavri mehachad Gisa, and another star from the other side of Kesel sees it and becomes afraid. Mibois, Mavis, Miloshan afraid. Umechse keman di over, and appears as though the star has passed through Kesel, but really that's not what happened. So the disappearance of one star from one side of Kesel and the simultaneous agitation of another star at the other side of Kesel creates the illusion that the first star has passed from one side of Kesel to the other. The Gemara says that Shmuel had two psukim that seemed to contradict each other. Ksiv. In one pasuk it says, Ose Ash Ksil Vechima. He made Ash, Ksil, and Kima. And this is a pasuk in Eov, names of three constellations. Uksiv, on the other hand, it's written, Ose Chima Uksil. He makes Kima and Ksil. And there's no mention of Ash. In other words, the sequence also changed. The first pasuk that we had, Ksil comes before Kima. But in the second pasuk, Kima comes before Ksil, HaKetzad. Apparently these psukim are teaching us that Ksil and Kima are of equal importance. Like we said by Moshe and Aaron, sometimes it says Moshe's name first, then Aaron, to tell you that they were Shavim. Ilema Chuma Shel Ksil. Ilmoli, if not for the heat of Ksil, lo niskayma olam ibnei tzina shel bima shel kima, the world would not survive because of the cold of kima. So that's going to be the relationship here between Kesel and kima. Ilmoli tzina shel kima, lo niskayma olam ibnei chumo shel Ksil. The world would not survive because of the heat of Ksil, if not for the cold of Kima. Ugmiri, and we have a tradition, Ilav Uktza de Akbara de Manach Binahar Dinar. If the tail of the scorpion, which is called a Kima, was not placed in the stream of fire, Kol Man Davi Trikole Akrava Lo Avichai. Anyone bitten by a scorpion would not live. So what we're saying now is that the scorpion here is not the zodiac constellation, that name. It's another name for Kima, which is actually in the zodiacal constellation of the ram, Aries. Now again, somewhere, and many times perhaps in Tanakh, there's a change of the order of people or things, and we mentioned before Moshe and Aaron, in order to indicate that they're equal, they have equal importance. Fine. V'ahenu dekarmelei rachmona le'iov. This is why Hashem said to Iov, his kasher me'adanos kima, o moshvos ksil tefatach. Could you tie the bonds of kima or loosen the shackles of kesil? And God is saying rhetorically, asking whether a mortal could have created the universe. And this pasuk implies that the stars of kima are bound together, whereas the stars of kesil are looser and freer. And the reason is that kima is a source of cold, which causes contraction, while kesil is a source of heat, which causes expansion. Now the stars seem to have a certain power to influence the events of the world. Each star has its own certain independent powers. These powers are used by God to direct events in the world. This is all based on the Gra. When one star sees that another star has been displaced, it becomes agitated because it fears that the displaced star is coming to vanquish it. The stars of Kima, which are extremely cold, imbue a scorpion bite with the coldness that makes it so dangerous. It is through coldness that a scorpion bite causes harm, and that we see in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah that states that the heat cures a scorpion bite, whereas cold aggravates it. Shmuel teaches us here that if the cold of Kima was not diminished somewhat by its proximity to the stream of fire, a scorpion's bite would be so powerful that it would cause death every time. My Kima, what is the name, the reason for the name Kima? Omer Shmuel says, Kimea Kochvi. It looks like 100 stars. Now, with regard to these stars, Amile de Michnefe, some say they gathered together. The Amile de Midbadron, they are scattered. My Ash, Omrab Yehuda Yusa, it's a constellation that's known as Yutha. My Yutha, Amrila Zanav Tle, it's the tail of the ram. The Amrila Resha the Egla, some say it's the head of the bull. So the Gemara now decides in favor of the first opinion, that it's Resha, that it's Zanav Tle. It's logical to follow the one who says that Ash is the tail of the ram. Kirichsiv v'ayish al boneo tenachem. Could you comfort Ash or Ayish for her children? Alma, we see, chasra, that Ash is missing some of her stars. Some of her children, umischazia, and what we know is that the tail of the ram appears, and here we're turning to Nun Tesam and Alf Kitarfa de Tarif, as though it had been beaten up by a hammer to close a gap that was in it. So the Gemara records two opinions about Yosa. Again, whether it's the tail of the ram, it's the head of the bull. And again, that's a constellation which is the same as Ash, and it's called Yosa. And the Gemara decides, Mistabra Kamandi Omer Znav Tle, that the Ash is like the tail of the ram, Kirchsiv vi Ayish al Boner Tin Senachem. And this is a pasuk in Iov. And you could you comfort Ayash for her children?
Alma Chasera means that Ash is missing some of her stars, her children, Mishazia, and the tail of the ram appears Ketarfa de Tarif, as though it had been beaten by a hammer to close the gap that was within it. That's the way the tail of the ram looks. And now the Gemara is going to try to analyze the meaning of the Mazal Ayish, which is found in the tail of the ram. Son of Tle, the tail of the ram. And I think perhaps we'll pick this up tomorrow. So we're going to stop here on the top of Daf Nun Tes, Amud Aleph.